This morning, our scripture passage comes from Psalm 138. This is a psalm of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we dive into this psalm of thanksgiving, this psalm of David, we pray that its truths would become the refrain of our hearts, that we too would be able to sing out our thanks to you. Be with us now this morning. We know that you're there. Help us to feel your presence. Amen. Well, as you know, we've been walking through 1 Samuel, walking through the life of David in 1 Samuel, and so some of you might be wondering why we're in the Psalms this morning instead of 1 Samuel. Well, if you've been reading ahead, that might have given you a clue. If you haven't been reading ahead, go ahead and read ahead in 1 Samuel, and it'll give you a clue as to maybe why that passage I thought was not the most appropriate for a Thanksgiving Sunday. But this is a psalm of David. Approximately 73 of the psalms are accredited to David. And some think that even more than that were written by him. And we don't know when or where David was when he wrote these psalms. Theologians, scholars have guessed, at which point in David's life he might have written these psalms, but we're not told within the confines of Scripture, the date and the occasion with which David wrote them. But this psalm, Psalm 138, as I was reflecting on it this week, I was thinking of it in light of what we've just learned about David, facing Goliath. And how it really matches up with Psalm 138. David standing before a literal giant, this worshiper of foreign gods, and he was quickly thrust into this life of politics, not to mention being secretly anointed king and called to serve the current king and becoming close friends with the son of the king. I'm sure David had a lot going on in his mind. Can you relate? Have you felt like that? Like everything in the world, like you're just being thrust into all these different situations? And for David, I can imagine that the way in which he dealt with all of this swimming around in his mind was that he wrote these psalms. This is how he dealt with these great emotions that he was experiencing. And so as we think through this psalm today, think of it in light of what we already know about David, what we've talked about here on Sunday mornings, but then also what you've heard maybe in Sunday school classes or Bible studies at small groups. And then remember that all of David's story in the Bible is designed to point us towards Christ. And as such, how does this apply to you, to myself and to you? So in Psalm 138, there's this blend of David's boldness and his humility. Really, we see the same type of boldness as he faces Goliath, and then the humility as the shepherd boy. Psalm 138 celebrates the name, the steadfast love, the faithfulness, and the intimate care of God in the variety of places in which we find ourselves in life. And that's where we're going to be looking at specifically today, is those variety of places that we find ourselves in life. The first is in our sanctuaries of safety. It says, I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart before the gods. I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. David was used to being in danger. You know, he said this as a shepherd. He was constantly facing these wild animals, you know, lions and bears that he would go against. And then he's against this, he was against Goliath. And then he faces, you know, Saul hurling spears at him and being sent out really into the front lines of battle. David is no stranger to danger. He knows it well. But even in the midst of this, he says, I give thanks to you with my whole heart for the other gods. And what other gods are we referencing? Some think that that these lowercase gods are like the angels in heaven, that God is the God of gods. Or that David is referencing that he is in the midst of all of this political turmoil, you know, where there's all of these other nations that are continuously being aggressors towards Israel and their worship of other gods and the influence that would have had on the nation of Israel and the influence that would have had on David. But David is saying, I find these places of sanctuary, where he can draw away and give thanks to the Lord. It's interesting because within the language of these first three verses of the psalm, there's language that leads some theologians to think that part of this is written with David being outside of Jerusalem, like in a foreign country, looking towards Jerusalem, and then also within Jerusalem. And so wherever David finds himself, whether he is traveling, maybe he's on the run from these oppressors, we'll hear about that in a few weeks, or maybe he's at home. Wherever he finds himself, he takes these opportunities to give thanks to God. The next place is within our chaotic social, political, and economic world. David says, all the kings of earth shall give you thanks. Don't we long for that? Don't we long for kings and political leaders, presidents, whatever they might be, to be men and women who are following after the Lord? And not just people who claim to do it, but people that we look to as examples of being faithful leaders. Don't we long for that? And David is saying that one day that will be the case. That one day all of the rulers of the earth will acknowledge that God is who he says he is, and that they will bow down before him. But in the midst of that, he's saying that even in that, even in this chaos of the world around us, in this social, political, economic world, that we have every reason to continue to give thanks to God, because God remains in control. The third area is in our daily trials and trouble.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserved my life. You stretched out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. I mean, we see this in David's story, right? I mean, we've looked at this. We've looked at how God has been with David, preserving him, you know, as he fights giants and lions and against Saul and the Philistine armies. And we've talked about how God steps in and he faces the giants in our lives too. And I've encouraged you to think back through those times in your life where it feels like you're facing insurmountable odds and where you have made it through. And there's really no other explanation for making it through apart from God moving and working in your life. You know, some things, maybe things are just coincidence, and other times things are just undeniably the hand of God. And so David is saying, in verse 3, he says, on the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased. And so as David asks for help, the Lord responds. And then as though I walk in the midst of trouble. What confidence you can have walking into the midst of trouble. What confidence you can have facing a giant, knowing that God has already been there. And if God has already been there, then he will most likely be there again and again and again. And we get discouraged sometimes because God's way of showing up doesn't always look exactly the way that we think it should. Sometimes he doesn't always do exactly or even close to what we think he should. But we have to remember, I mean, he's the creator of the universe. He designed it. You know, he holds it in the palm of his hands. Don't you think he knows how to operate it? How to build it? The intricacies of it, how it can best move and function. And he says, I love you. I love you, and I want the best for you. And so here are the things that you can do to best enjoy, you know, the world around you. He says, I will be with you. And the last area that David mentions, and he says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. You know, I think that's one of life's biggest questions. What's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And it's a question I think that we ask from childhood all the way through adulthood. And we find answers along the way. But sometimes purpose changes. It doesn't always remain the same. My purpose as a 5-year-old is not the same as my purpose as an 80-year-old. It changes. And it's sometimes we wonder, am I fulfilling God's purpose for my life? And as David is reminding us, God's will be accomplished. And to think that you and I can somehow mess up God's plans, it's kind of silly. He's the God of the universe. But he says, hey, do you want to participate? Do you want to move and do you want me to allow you to be part of that plan? And God invites us into that. And he has this purpose for us. And as we step into that purpose and we open our eyes to it, it brings this sense of fulfillment and joy into our lives. To use things the way that they are supposed to be used. You know, there was
I don't know, what are they called, memes? Or whatever, where were these pictures with funny captions on the internet? And that one of them is an older lady using an iPad as a cutting board. Have any of you ever seen that picture? Which is, it worked fine, but, you know, but as soon as you actually begin using the iPad for what it was intended for, it opens up this new world of things, right? And a lot of us are kind of going through life like that, where we're, you know, using iPads as cutting boards, where it's working, but we're missing out on the full potential of what's available to us. We're missing out on what the amazing things that God will allow us to participate in. So David is, he's reminding us that God is a God who remembers us and cares. That our God is a God who is worthy of our thanks and worship. Because of all of these places in our life that he shows up time and time and time again. That God is a God above all other gods. And so in your moments of worship, private and public, as you engage with the world around you in the social, political, economic realms, as you face trials, and as you dive into the purpose that you he has for your life, in all areas, follow the example of David and find opportunities to give praise, to be thankful, to tell God, I still want to be in relationship with you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful and too many days are full of too many complaints. Help me to trust in you. Help us to see the way that you have blessed us. Allow the world around us to see us giving thanks and praise to you, even in the midst of everything that's going around, because we have placed our hope and our trust in you. Let us be an example to the people around us. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.